We'll open up some scriptures. Joshua chapter 3. The title of this talk is Jericho. Joshua chapter 3. So Jericho. Just read a couple of scriptures. Is everybody comfortable? You're a bit hot, are you, Brent?
Yeah.
The heaters are off. Yeah. We could turn the fans on. No. Joshua chapter 3. So Jericho is a city in Canaan. But we'll read some scriptures to introduce it. So Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the river Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, it's the time of flood, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, and that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So this was the second time the whole nation of Israel went through the waters. The first time was when they went through the Red Sea, when they were fleeing the Egyptians. But here, it's interesting how the Lord chose the time for them to cross this river was when it was in flood. The time of the harvest, it says that the Jordan overfloweth all his banks. There was water everywhere. And the Lord stopped the flow of water along the Jordan River so that it just piled up in a heap. As these people, all these hundreds of thousands of people, crossed on dry ground. The first people to get there were the priests that were bearing the ark, and as soon as their one person's foot touched the water, it all just stopped. And then, of course, downstream, it just dried up. All of Israel managed to pass. Now, it says in the New Testament that when the nation of Israel went across the Red Sea, that was a type of baptism. This here, as well, I believe, is a type of baptism. Of course, it's the same sort of thing. They're walking through water. So the nation of Israel was baptized here in the time of the flood, time of the Jordan was flooding. And so prior to this crossing, they were walking in the wilderness. After this crossing, they were entering the promised land to take over the promised land. God had said throughout their wanderings in the wilderness that I'll give you this promised land that flows with milk and honey. And so they, as a nation, as an army, were getting prepared to take possession of this promised land. And it says that they crossed over, in verse 16 at the end there, they crossed over right against Jericho. So the title of this talk is Jericho. And in a way, while they're wandering through the wilderness, they then get baptized. When they cross the Jordan, in a way, Jericho's in the way of their conquering of and taking of the promised land. Jericho was the first battle in Canaan, and so that's the point I want to make at this stage, is that Jericho was an obstacle for them taking possession of their promised land. And so now in the New Testament era, we look at the spiritual aspect, and so we got baptized by full immersion. We then pray for the Holy Spirit, and there can be this Jericho in the way of us taking the promised land, that spiritual promised land. That can be the flesh, you know, like you're baptized, you're yet to have the Spirit, you're praying away, there's walls around this city, it's an obstruction to us entering the promised land. Over to chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. And it just plainly says here, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So when we first get baptized, we can put these walls up around. You know, we can put these walls up that totally inhibit the Lord having his ways. We can be straightly shut up. Oop, they're immovable walls. Now, I believe firmly there's instances that come up in our life as we're following the Lord's ways, and there's just, you know, there's a good thing coming. You know, there's this glorious thing, this land flowing with milk and honey, and yet there's this Jericho in the way. And it seems these walls are just so solid, and you just, with your own mindset and your own wisdom and your own knowledge, you just can't break through these walls. And it's like this Jericho has been plonked in the way of you having this great blessing. So verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." And then it goes through the account there that it actually happened. And what I like about this is the nation of Israel had to walk around Jericho. They weren't to ignore this obstruction. They've got to walk around it. And so today we pray about it. You know, we don't ignore this obstruction. We pray about it. And also when we first came to the Lord, you got baptized, and there was this, the flesh was getting in the way, your own mindset, you know, your worries, oh, I've got to fix this up, before the Lord will bless me and fill me with the Holy Spirit. But you still pray away that the Lord can knock down these walls that are around this obstruction to this this great blessing and this promised land. And then as we walk on and we follow God's ways, we can ourselves, we can build our own Jericho again, can't we? We can plonk that in the way, and we start looking to the flesh, and it kind of obstructs our path of eternal life. So to back that up, go to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26. "And Joshua adjured," or warned, "them at that time." So after Jericho was conquered and destroyed, Jericho was absolutely destroyed. Joshua then adjures all of Israel at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So Joshua could see that this Jericho was an obstruction to the taking of the land, and he just said, "Look, this place has to stay destroyed. I don't want to see this place ever built again." And it's like, yep, we received the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You know, brilliant. You got this joy. Yes, we've entered the promised land. We've got the kingdom of God dwelling in us. God doesn't want us to build this Jericho again. He doesn't want us to go off and follow the ways of the flesh. He wants us to continue look to him. And it actually happened back in 1 Kings chapter 16. The man who rebuilt Jericho, his firstborn son was killed, and his youngest son was killed when he set the gates up. So the Lord wants this clean access to the promised land, and our flesh stops that. We dwell in the flesh. We know the power of the flesh, and we also know the power of the Spirit. But it's this mindset for us to rely on the Spirit now. Deuteronomy chapter 12. And those testimonies that were just shared, you know, great examples of a Jericho being plonked in the way. You know, there's this thing that's in the way of this land of milk and honey, and the two saints who testified then, they testified of relying on the Lord and being patient, and the walls of Jericho fell down. They weren't out there with hammer and tongs trying to chip away at the wall themselves. They were just circling around, praying, waiting for the Lord to crumble the walls. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Over to verse 10. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offering of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. So this is a prediction that the Lord prophesied, that when you get into this promised land and you conquer this promised land, and it says there when you've got rest, there'll be a place that God will choose in that land to put his name. And his name is basically where he is. It's his reputation. It's where people look to pray to and to get answers from God. It's where they take all their offerings. It's where they go to worship. This place that he'll choose out of all the places in the nation, or the future nation of Israel in the land of Canaan, God will choose a place to dwell. Okay, that place, 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. So this, of course, is another place. It's not Jericho. We sang a chorus about it. We sang a couple of choruses about this. 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. So this is the place. God chose Jerusalem to dwell, to put his name there. Right? So in a way, Jericho represents the flesh, the things of the world, and then Jerusalem represents the spiritual world. You know, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit, we come to the spiritual Jerusalem to worship. And it's like, if you can imagine, Israel were baptized, they had this obstruction of the flesh, that was destroyed, they received the Holy Spirit, and they came to Jerusalem. It's like our own testimony. We were baptized by full immersion. We prayed to the Holy Spirit. Yes, there was confusion going on. Is God really real? What's this eternal life all about? These people seem happy, but then you still circled and went around it. You didn't ignore it. You still prayed to the Holy Spirit, no matter how long it took. You still prayed for the Holy Spirit. And then when you received the Holy Spirit, the spiritual Jerusalem. You dwelt in the spiritual Jerusalem then. And that's where we worship God in spirit and in truth, at that Mount Zion. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn being Jesus Christ, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So Abel was being that first person that was murdered by Cain, and he was righteous before God. He submitted the right sacrifice, but then he shed the blood of that righteous man, and Jesus Christ was far better. He shed that sprinkling of the blood was far better than the blood that was spilt of Abel, because it was the pathway for us to have eternal life. So here it clearly says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. We as spirit-filled Christians walking in spirit and in truth. See, that's where the truth is important, okay? When you're following the ways of God and you're following the truth, It means you're putting him first ahead of what you think's right, ahead of the things of the flesh. So that's why he wants us to walk in spirit and in truth, because then we are walking to Mount Zion. We are dwelling in Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And that's, whereas if we start building up our own Jericho and relying on the things of the flesh, we're taking our eye off the spiritual Jerusalem. And there, that's where God is the judge of all. And praise the Lord, we understand how important it is for clarity of judgment, righteous judgment, and we can rely on God to be that judge. Okay? And hence, again, testimonies. I believe they clearly outline the righteous judgment of God. You know, God judged that that was the right thing to do. God judged that this was the outcome he wanted, you know, in the two testimonies we heard then. And to have these amazing provisions and miracles in our life. And it says there, where was it? Oh, yeah, verse 22, heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels. You know, there's a hymn that we sing where all those many thousands of people that are dead in Christ shall be raised up. And, you know, we're there with them as well. Those that sleep in the Lord, there's that great hope. So that's the wonderful thing. When we are walking in spirit and truth, we just have this natural hope, and a hope that that really helps us to carry on and carry through. And, of course, verse 24, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. We don't need any other mediator. We don't need a saint that's been appointed by ritual to be our mediator. Mary's not our mediator. It's Jesus Christ himself. Mary needed Jesus Christ to be her mediator as well. Mary was there on the day of Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit, baptized beforehand, and so she is now asleep in the Lord. We hope, of course, that she'll be raised up too, but she's not a mediator. She's asleep now. Jesus Christ is the one who's alive, who sits on the right hand of God, who's our mediator, and he helps us. Sorry, just helps us to walk in spirit and truth, and to dwell in spiritual places in this Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Luke chapter 10, and just praise the Lord for that. I really, and I'm sure we're all so grateful that his promises are yea and amen. You know, that he comes through and that we can rely on him. We just seek ye first the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 10, a little parable here, which puts things into perspective about the whole Jericho and the Jerusalem thing too. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Important point there. This man decided to go on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay you. Yeah, so we'll stop there. So here, this, you know, as I described before, the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan, conquered Jericho, and went to Jerusalem. This man decided to, it's a parable, of course, this man decided to go the other way. So he was dwelling in Jerusalem. Let's think of that as the spiritual Jerusalem. And this man decided to go the other way, down toward Jericho. I like how it says there, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He decided to come down from this spiritual place and wander back to the flesh, back to the world, back to Jericho, rebuilding Jericho in his life. And as he was going down there, as he was wandering down, getting closer to Jericho, these thieves stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and left him for dead. So we can see that when people turn away from God and decide to rely on, like, this is conscious. I mean, I've got to clarify this. So in our walk, we often rely on our flesh. There's no doubt. We dwell in our flesh. I mean, it's natural, and we have we try to solve things in our own strength, and we do that and it fails, and then what silly duffer, let's rely on the Lord, you know? But what I'm talking about here in this instance is those that consciously turn away from God. Okay, I don't want God in my life anymore. I'm going to go down this path, following the world, going down toward Jericho. And you keep going down and down and down and down and down, get further down, and then you're just left for dead. Okay? It's a horrible situation. But praise the Lord. You know, the Lord's out there looking for the lost sheep. You know, there's this great thing, this compassion. It says here, it refers to a Samaritan. The Samaritan was the despised people. The Samaritan were those that the Israelites and the Levites didn't like, didn't want to mix with. Jesus Christ was completely rejected by his people. Yes, he was an Israelite. He was a Nazarite as well, but he was rejected. He was this Samaritan that had compassion on this person who had rejected him, who had turned away from him and decided to walk back to Jericho. And when he was left for dead, he looked up, and then was Jesus Christ. He had compassion, and he dressed his wounds, put him in an inn, gave him the oil and the wine, and so that then he could look back to Jerusalem and follow God's ways again. So I've said it a few times, where there's life, there's hope. And we always pray. We don't ignore the Jericho. You know, people reject God, and we've seen it many times over the years, but we don't ignore it, because we want them to come back. So we pray about them, you know, and keep in mind and pray that through time, as they go closer and closer to Jericho, they can lift their head up and think, oh, right, I want to turn back to God. Because when they turn back to God, he will have compassion on them and bring them back to the spiritual Jerusalem. Because when Jesus Christ comes back, if they're in that spiritual Jerusalem, they'll be raised up to meet him in the air, just like you and I, just like everyone here who's walking in spirit and in truth. And there's so much joy when someone comes back. You know, we all feel that. We all feel just such wonderful joy when someone comes back and is dwelling in that spiritual Jerusalem again, who has managed to rely on the Lord to knock down those walls of Jericho again. Mark chapter 13. So there's quite a few aspects, you know, that you can draw upon with this whole Jericho-Jerusalem thing. Mark, which I suppose is common in all scriptures, isn't it? Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. His words are eternal. So there's something else that's hard for us to comprehend, is that heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth are not as permanent as God's word. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father, but only the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know, let us be diligent. Let us watch. Let's keep an eye on watching the return of this Jesus Christ to come back, and to expect it. So he says there, he commanded the porter to watch in verse 34. You know, and we are that porter who's at the door watching and waiting for Jesus Christ to come back, because we don't know when he's going to come back. It's like he has gone on a far journey. It's a pretty long journey, isn't it? It's nearly 2,000 years this journey's taking. But we always look to him. A day is 1,000 years, as it says elsewhere. You know, he's a patient man. He wants everyone to come to a patient God, sorry. He's a patient God. He wants everyone to come to his ways. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Watch, therefore, it says. Watch. It's an active thing to do. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Okay, that's us. That's us that the Lord is referring to here. You know, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed is that servant when Jesus Christ comes back, is continuing to walk in spirit and truth, continuing to dwell in the spiritual Jerusalem and praising his name in the spirit and in the understanding. Blessed is that servant. Then the Lord will make him ruler over all his goods. Okay? That's just a wonderful thing. And that's where we can dwell with him, the king, forever. And we will be sitting on the thrones judging. We'll be rulers over his goods and his spiritual goods. And so let us continue to walk on day by day, taking each day as it comes, having a conscious effort to look to the spiritual Jerusalem, to walk in spirit and truth, and to follow his ways and be his servant, because that's what we want. We all want to be raised up to meet him in the air. We've gone through the baptism. We saw the walls of Jericho crumbled down by the power of God, and we received the Holy Spirit. We spoke in tongues. Let us not think of that as naught, you know. We've carried on. Maybe sometimes we might have dabbled into walking down toward Jericho a bit, but the Lord pulled us back, you know, and praise the Lord. We've got this great joy and this great hope of being raised up to meet him in the air. Okay, thank you.